there is a very meaningful passage of Scripture in John chapter 10 and verse 10. And though it's a meaningful passage of Scripture, it will not be our text for today. But in that passage in John chapter 10, Jesus says, "I came that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." That is what Jesus Christ desires for us. Jesus wants us to live the abundant life. It's the way He wants us to live. It's what He wants us to have. It's the life that Jesus came to provide for us. And in spite of that, oftentimes we fail, and we fail miserably in living abundantly. For one thing, all of us have aches and pains. I won't go into all that this morning. But I want us to be clear about one thing. All of us have aches and pains, but my aches and pains are worse than yours. I just want us to understand that at the very beginning this morning. If you doubt the validity of the fact that we all think our aches and pains are worse than someone else's, try this next time you're at some function. The conversation at some point is going to lag. And when the conversation lags at some point, as it always does, just mention the particular ailment that your friend or acquaintance, whoever it is you're talking to, is suffering from. And when you mention it, watch just how quickly the ice is broken, the conversation resumes, and they start telling you all about their aches and pains. Does the name William Sidney Porter sound familiar or ring a bell with you? William Sidney Porter was a licensed pharmacist. He also at one time worked for the General Land Office of the state of Texas. At one time, William Sidney Porter was a teller at the First National Bank of Austin. William Sidney Porter actually served time in prison for embezzlement of funds from the First National Bank of Austin. He actually made off with the astronomical sum of $854.08. Now, you might recognize William Sidney Porter better by his pen name, O. Henry. He was a prolific writer of short stories during the 19th century. And he wrote a humorous little story entitled, "Makes the Whole World Kin." It's about a man who was burglarizing a house. And the man flashed his light on a man who was in bed and said, "Put up your mitts." Well, the man in the bed, we'll call him the victim, he raised his right hand. "Put up the other one," the command came. "You might be amphibious and be able to shoot with both hands." "I can't," came the laconic reply. "Why can't you?" "I have rheumatism in my left shoulder." The would-be burglar looked at the would-be victim thoughtfully and relaxed. He said, "It's a good thing for you that me and rheumatism is old pals." It was then that the would-be burglar and the victim began to discuss the various symptoms of their mutual affliction. And they went into great detail as to the effects that the change in the weather had on their rheumatism. And they discussed the merits of various remedies for rheumatism, things like rattlesnake oil, essence of evergreen, Potts pain pulverizer, and so forth. And their natural antipathy was forgotten. Why? They were enjoying the thrill of the discussion of their disease, their ailment, and all the various remedies for it. Well, that interests us, doesn't it? Because all of us have our aches and pains. How many times have you been in conversation with people, or you've listened to conversations between people, and they start talking about the different blood pressure medicine they're on, or the different cholesterol medicine they're on, or whatever type of medicine it is that they're all taking? All of that's to say that there is something wrong with every one of us, well, except maybe some of the little ones that are here, because none of us is 100% hale and hearty. And in our day and time, there are a lot of folks who make every attempt to stay fit physically. They eat all the right foods. They don't eat things that process sugars, and they eat natural flowers, and they get plenty of sleep and plenty of exercise, and do everything they can by the numbers to stay physically healthy. Actually, there might be some, me not being one, who are in great shape physically. There are those who are classified as physically fit. I'm not one of those either. In fact, I got a phone call from one of my credit card companies the other day that it was a suspected fraud alert because someone had used my credit card for a gym membership. I'm just not one that stays fit physically. My doctor said, "Mr. Perkins, you need to get in shape." I said, "I am. Round is a shape." I would venture to say, though, that though some might be classified as physically fit, that all of us, your humble servant here included, all of us, are below par spiritually. Paul would write in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And folks, that's not a statement that's startling to us. Because the great tragedy is that in our day and time, people are not keenly conscious of sin. And we've come to think that our decent sins and our respectable sins don't really count for much. But suppose, instead of saying that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we stated that all have broken the laws of spiritual health and are therefore not so fit and strong as they might be. If we made that statement to that, we would all say a loud and hearty amen. But whatever may be the state of our physical health, Jesus came for us to live life abundantly, and we know that we are not living as abundantly as we might live. So we're interested in what the wise man says in our text in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That's how the King James Version reads. Personally, I like the way Moffat puts it in his translation. Dr. Moffat says, a cheerful heart helps and heals. The wise man is simply saying, if you want a good medicine, try a cheerful heart. Think about the merits of a cheerful heart. It's a remedy that's actually very easy to take. And it's actually a remedy that's very pleasant in its side effects and its after effects. Sometime when the doctor prescribes a medication for you and you go to the pharmacy and they hand you those papers, sometime read the possible side effects of the medicine. On second thought, don't. You never want to read the possible side effects of a medicine that the doctor prescribes you. Because sometimes if you read the side effects, the possible side effects are actually worse than the original ailment you're being treated for. But a cheerful heart I don't know anybody that's ever been hurt by the remedy of a cheerful heart. It's good medicine because it works. There are times that the very best of physicians are baffled. And they'll say, well, try this medication and come back in a couple of weeks. Well, let's try this. That didn't seem to work too well. Let's try this and come back in a couple of weeks, or come see me in 2 months. And oftentimes, doctors prescribe numerous remedies that they just don't seem they'll be working. They were treating my dad one time for 2 different kinds of pneumonia at the same time. Turned out he had lung cancer. But a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It's something that never fails to help. And it's true regardless of the disease from which we may be suffering. Even if we're having some kind of a physical malady, a cheerful heart is going to help us. Because, beloved, there is not a fiber in the body that is not affected by the mind. Every physician and every psychiatrist knows that a cheerful heart is a good medicine in the treatment of a physical disease. I'm not saying that cheerfulness is a cure-all, and I'm not saying that, oh yes, you don't need medicine because cheerfulness is a cure-all for everything. And I don't mean that if someone's cheerful, they're not going to be sick and they're going to never die. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is what the wise man said so long ago. And that is, a cheerful heart will do good. There are thousands of sufferers in our world today whose sickness would actually vanish at the coming of a cheerful heart, just as darkness vanishes with the coming of the morning sun. There are people who die every year not because their physical ills are incurable, but because they lack the healing medicine of a cheerful heart. They've lost heart and they've lost hope. And they feel like it's futile to go on living because they feel like they have absolutely nothing to live for. And all of us have known folks like that. My mother used to talk about the first time she met my great-grandmother on my father's side of the family. Mother was a girl of 16, and she was introduced to Granny Gaskins. And they walked up to Granny Gaskins' house, and she's sitting on the front porch in a rocking chair. And my mother was introduced to her, and she said, well, how are you, Ms. Gaskins? She said, well, I'm just sitting here waiting to die. She was a ripe old age of 56. And bless her little heart, she had to wait another 25 years before she died. She waited a long time. But we've all known people that had that kind of attitude. People that just had an attitude, well, I don't have anything to live for. I'm just going to sit here and wait till time for me to die. They lacked a merry heart. The wise man says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A cheerful heart helps and heals. And the beauty of it is that cheerful heart, it doesn't affect just the patient. It affects those around them. When I take a dose of medicine, as we call it, it affects me. But it doesn't affect anybody else. But if I take the bracing medicine of a cheerful heart, the good effects of that are not just confined to me. It gives me something to share with those around me. And you know something? Sometimes that's often what people need the most. Look around you. There are a lot of folks out in our world that are having a hard time. Every day we meet people that are discouraged. And we meet people that have all the discouragement that they need. And sometimes we rub elbows with killjoys. And let's face it, we rub elbows with enough killjoys to make life just a little bit difficult sometimes. And there are folks we run into, folks we meet, folks we come in contact with, whose fingers are as nimble in stealing the sunshine out of our lives as the fingers of a skilled pickpocket are in lifting our wallet. And gloom is contagious. And we can steal the blue and the sunshine out of our neighbor's sky without any effort at all. But if doom and gloom are contagious, praise God, so is happiness and joy. And we need a firm conviction in our lives that this remedy of a cheerful heart is within our reach. We're not being offered some pot of gold out there at the end of some rainbow. It's not some fountain of youth like Ponce de Leon was looking for that we're never going to be able to find. And I'm aware that there are some people that are going to find this utterly incredible. And I know that sometimes there are desperate souls that hear this idea of a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, and they hear it with resentment rather than hearing it with hope. And when I say a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, there are some folks that might even think, almost angrily, you wouldn't talk to me about a cheerful heart if you knew the grim tragedy that's always stalking my steps. Well, it's easy for someone in your position to talk with the glib assurance of cheerfulness. You wouldn't be so certain about it if life had done to you what life has done to me. You wouldn't talk about having a merry heart because you just don't know what I've been through. You don't have any idea what I'm going through right now. You just don't know. You just don't understand. I'll agree with you. There's some solid sense in those statements. Up to a point. I'm aware there's some folks that are in situations of which I've had little to no experience. But I have had some experience with tragedy. I've been in the room as my father and mother both took their final breath. I've stood behind a podium in front of a microphone with a casket in front of me that contained my father, my mother, a grandfather, a grandmother. And I stood there as I had to speak words of consolation not only to myself but to those in attendance. I know something of that myself. But a cheerful heart, I say with confidence, is within reach of every one of us. Because cheerfulness is not just a matter of temperament. Temperament may help, but it's not enough. And it's not a product of circumstances. I'm aware there are circumstances that make it difficult sometimes to attain a cheerful heart. And there are some circumstances that make attaining a cheerful heart easier. But no set of circumstances can guarantee the attainment of a cheerful heart. If a cheerful heart was born solely of circumstances, we could easily divide the cheerful from the cheerless. All we'd have to do is to put the successful and the prosperous and the healthy and the socially prominent on one side and the failures and the sick and the misfits and the poverty stricken on the other side. But that's not going to work. You can find some of the most wretched people on the top side of God's green earth among people that are highly successful. And you can find some of the happiest souls that have ever lived among the failures, as the world considers failure. The high attainment of a cheerful heart is the result of a cause. And the law of sowing and reaping operates here as it does everywhere else. And because of this, we can't attain this goal by merely closing our eyes to the grim and ugly facts of life. There are some who may achieve a certain kind of cheerfulness by denying what we know and what they know to be true. But that is only to build for themselves a fool's paradise. A cheerful heart is the result of an inward cause. If we're going to have real cheer, we have to have inward peace. And we have to rid our souls of whatever civil war is raging down inside of us. Are you listening? We have to give up our grudges, our hates, our fears, and turn loose of the past. I've seen sick folks who were cheerful of heart. I've seen poor folks that were cheerful of heart. Write this down. It's on the final exam. I have never yet found or seen a happy hater. All of that brings us down to one thing. All of that brings us down to Jesus Christ. The supreme secret of joy and cheerfulness and happiness and the abundant life is wholehearted dedication to God. I can say with perfect conviction that every life that's dedicated to Jesus Christ is a joyful life. I can say with perfect conviction that everyone who has made Jesus Christ the Lord and Master of all of their life is living the abundant life and living a joyful life. And everyone else misses the road. Is your heart cheerful this morning? Is Jesus Christ the Lord and Master of your life? If Jesus is not Lord and Master of all of your life, He is not Lord and Master at all in your life. And you make Him Lord of your life by coming in simple trusting faith, repenting of everything that's sin in your life, confessing His name, and being buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins. And that makes Jesus Lord of your life. And you can live abundantly and cheerfully. And maybe you've done that. You haven't lived His kind of life. You need to come and let others pray for you. We can do that. If there are needs in your life, we can help you with. If we can help you to make Jesus Lord and Master of all of your life, so you can possess a cheerful heart that will do good like a medicine, giving yourself wholly to Jesus Christ, this is your opportunity to come and let us help you as together we stand and while we sing.